I'm here talking with Nick Lamson once again. We spoke before at the Democratic Convention in Fort Worth. Today we're going to talk a little bit about space. NASA just had another successful launch of the space shuttle. But as I understand it, the lifespan of the space shuttle at this point is pretty limited. They're supposed to shut that down in about 2010, I believe. What's the future for that?
Well, Charles, it's nice to join you again and to talk about these things. It's critically important. NASA and our space exploration are critical to the nation, and I'm awfully proud to have seen the success that they had with this particular mission. But the question that you asked specifically regarding the time frame of the shutdown of the space shuttle is something that's important for us to consider, and I believe that it's a part of the action that I believe we need to be looking at. We need more money for NASA, and it's something that I worked on when I was on the Space and Aeronautics Subcommittee on Science, and will when I go back. We need also to make sure that that flight gap, which you refer to between 2010 and 2014, which is the time that we'll stop the use of the shuttle and switch over to the crew return vehicle, crew exploration vehicle, CEV, is a time that we won't have the ability to go back and forth to the space station or go into space. We need to make sure that we have continued manned exploration in space. We'll make sure that we are exciting young people to want to be in space and to study math and science and engineering. We can't shy away from difficult missions. And fifth, I believe that we've got to have a long-term vision supported by the required resources.
Okay. Well, what are the required resources? A lot of people complain about how much money NASA costs. I'm going to talk about that a little more later, but what are the required resources?
Well, we were talking when I was in Congress of not necessarily doubling the budget, but increasing the budget significantly over a period of years to get it back toward where we are not having to make decisions between science and the, quote, vision for what we're going to do, the vision that the president proposed for us. And it's important that we recognize that placing priorities is how we get to the money that's necessary for NASA. We know that during the 60s and 70s, NASA had a budget of about 6% of the federal budget. Today it's 0.6% for the federal budget. And many are talking about increasing that number to someplace closer to 0.8% to 1% of the budget, and to have a long-term vision to be able to implement what we want to do, which is to complete the International Space Station, develop a platform for us to be able to return to the moon, and then from the moon itself to be able to, with people, explore the rest of the universe.
What do you see? I mean, let's talk more, you know, idealistically here. What do you see as being, you know, the goal in the further exploration of outer space?
Well, I personally believe that it is critical for a lot of reasons for us to explore in space. I wrote the Space Exploration Act in 2002. That basically became the platform for the vision that the president put forth before the nation in 2004, which said that we want to return to moon and go on to Mars and beyond. I think that's critically important. And it's important for us to consider what kind of return we get. During the 60s and 70s, for every dollar we spent in space, we got a $9 return here on Earth. Billions of dollars, trillions of dollars that we put into the economy, the literally millions of new jobs that were created, and hundreds of thousands of new businesses, the information technology industry, microwave ovens, heart pacemakers, and the list goes on significantly. The satellites that give us a different kind of ability to do television, and even the internet service, which goes out through satellites in a lot of instances. Those are the things that I believe that we get back, and consequently, what I want to see happen is to achieve what I said a minute ago, those five goals, to make sure that NASA is funded, to make sure that we stop that gap between the shuttle and CEV. Because I don't like to see us in a situation where we have to rely on another nation. We'll have to rely on Russia or the European Space Agency or some other craft to move people back and forth to the space station during that so-called gap.
Now, there were some concerns with this particular shuttle launch that I believe some of the tiles had some problems, and there were some questions about whether it was fully safe to send the shuttle up. I mean, the fleet is aging. They've been in service for, what, 25 years now?
Yeah.
Is there concern that in the effort to do all the missions by 2010 that, you know, that maybe there'll be some corners cut, some standards reduced?
Well, that's certainly one of the concerns. Supposedly, this was one of the safest missions that they've ever flown. And certainly, we have decided by setting an arbitrary date of 2010 to stop shuttle flights, we chose then to not upgrade the shuttle. And that was a conscious decision made a number of years back. I personally think that it was a mistake. I think that we should have been putting money into upgrades along the way, continue to use that until we achieve the mission that we set, which was to complete the construction of the space station, largely for the purpose of science. When we had to pare down on science in order to get the money to begin the development of the crew exploration vehicle, then we changed the mission. So while this mission was safe and the shuttle flight was safe, it is arbitrary to have a 2010 deadline and to try to pack everything in, realizing that we're going to push ourselves harder than we necessarily should. We could be putting ourselves in this in jeopardy. I think it's not the best way to go about the completion of the station.
What role, if any, does Congress play in giving NASA feedback on that?
Congress is an oversight agency. The Science Committee, specifically the Space and Aeronautics Subcommittee, the authorizing entity that's supposed to give NASA its overall direction. Obviously, it gives its funding, and through the funding tells it where it is to be going. And as we have seen a paring down of the dollars for NASA, that I think that sets the policy, and it's put NASA in a situation where they've had to make decisions of, do we continue science or do we try to come up with a vehicle that is going to put us beyond the space shuttle. Those are hard decisions, and I think that Congress has to express the will of the public, and I believe the public truly wants us to have a significant space exploration program and civilian science.
Now, you spent a lot of time in your tenure in Congress working with the Space Subcommittee. Tell me about that experience. What did you learn from it, and what do you see as being what you want to do when you go back?
Well, I was the ranking member, the highest minority member, on the Space and Aeronautics Subcommittee on Science. It put me in a situation where I got to deal a great deal with all of the people within the NASA family. People at Johnson Space Center, because it was here in the congressional district that I represented, was very, very important. It's the reason why I have the Space Advocate program that I have for my campaign. It helps me not only listen to the people there, but also to help me get my message through the grassroots into the folks there, so that they'll know what my interest is in space. What I hope to be able to do when I go back is to be on that committee or on the same committee in appropriations as opposed to authorizing, so that I maintain the involvement that can be beneficial to the Johnson Space Center and to NASA generally. I recognize how desperately we need the additional funding to achieve our mission. I understand that by spending and investing in those kinds of science-related, research-related programs, that we get something back. It's not like investing in or coming up with a bill to make a comparison, No Child Left Behind, and then not funding it. The president had a vision for us to go to Mars and Moon and Mars and beyond, but without funding it, it's not going to happen. So I want to make sure that I'm a part of that funding mechanism and get my colleagues in the House of Representatives to understand what benefit the United States of America gains when we have a strong, robust exploration program that takes man into space.
Now, there are people who believe that NASA has outlived its usefulness and that the government should not be involved in the business of funding space exploration, that should all be turned over to private entities. What's your response to that?
We have a growing involvement of commercial activity in space. There are states now who are beginning to develop their own infrastructure. Both New Mexico and the state of Texas are building private, helping private enterprise build launch pads. There are a number of companies that are involved with the development of spacecraft. This is encouraged by NASA. I think it needs to be encouraged by our Congress. We need to make sure that commercialization of space continues to happen. But I think that because this is so costly and it's so unknown, that we have to have a public involvement for a long time yet to come. And it's much like what was happening with the exploration of the United States of America. The Lewis and Clark expedition, as an example, was not privately funded. They were funded by the United States government to explore the rest of the United States of America. They went broke and had to go back to Congress with a busted budget 13 times. And so what would have happened had they not made it all the way to the Pacific Ocean in their discovery? Well, we need to be looking at the same kind of thing. Let's use our finances well. Let's think through the priorities that we want to emphasize. And I believe that there is a place for the government to play in space, but we also need to make sure that the policy is there that encourages private expenditure and what we can do to develop more involvement. Keep in mind that many of the satellites that are in space now are commercially owned and commercially operated and are generating huge numbers of jobs and tremendous convenience here on Earth, whether it's a global position system, whether that is used around the world, whether it is to track aircraft, whether it's to track maritime, or whether it's to use the little deals on our dashboards now that can take us from one place to another. All of those come from an involvement with space, whether it's commercial or government.
Some other people would argue that a lot of that could be done just as easily and less expensively with unmanned space flights. You're an advocate of manned explorations. Let's talk about that.
Got to be mixed. I think we have to have a balance between manned and robotic or unmanned flights. I'm not opposed to that. I think that the missions that we did with the rovers, for example, that went to Mars, I think were tremendous, and they were a tremendous success for NASA. It gave us great science. At some point in time, it's my belief that if we took people away from the involvement of our exploration efforts, that we begin to lose a certain amount of the enthusiasm. I remember what it was like to sit in a classroom in 1969 and 70, in those early years when we were going to the moon, and seeing the excitement in the eyes of young people studying science then, that would make them want to study math and science and engineering related courses, to go to work for NASA, go to work for the companies that were going to build craft of the future, dream dreams and be able to go and implement them. And I believe if we take away the ability for us to think about putting people into hard places, then I believe we lose a certain amount of that enthusiasm. I believe that it is an encouragement to drive education and a lot more.
Okay. Well, let's shift gears a little bit. Do you still have, what kind of feedback have you been getting from the people at NASA in terms of what you're talking about now and your campaign?
I believe that many of them recognize that I go back with my seniority. I think they recognize that I have a lot of enthusiasm about science and research and space exploration as a part of that science. And I believe that they will help me spread the word through that so-called grassroots effort, through the effort of my Space Advocates program, and they'll be involved in the campaign. I think they see the value of sending me back to Congress as an advocate for them.
Was it not the case that Michael Griffin, the NASA administrator, gave an endorsement to Tom DeLay a while ago?
The representative for this area as being somebody critically important to bring resources. It's important for me to get the word out to those folks through my Space Advocates that I brought more resources to my district in 2001 than any member of Congress did from the state of Texas, and I think that's critically important. Those who know it will help me share that word with others, and we were able to sell those projects on the merits of them. And that's what I want people to know about me and my work and my belief in expanding NASA and making sure that the Johnson Space Center specifically stays strong as a part of NASA.
Okay. Let's talk about Mr. DeLay a little bit more then. I can't help myself. There's a petition effort by the Harris County Republican Party and an amicus brief that may get filed by the Attorney General on behalf of Mr. DeLay in the appeal of the lawsuit. Do you have any comment on that?
I mean, I've tried to stay focused on the most important thing that I can be doing, and that is to stay focused on my campaign and the way I started it from the very beginning. And I set out to not run against Tom DeLay, but to talk about issues that were important, like NASA, like Homeland Security, fiscal responsibility, education, and healthcare. And as long as I believe that I can stay in those communities, then excite people about what I have to offer, I think that they will know enough about these other things and about the person that represented this district for so long, that they'll give me their confidence and put me back in Congress. And that's what my effort is going to be.
I've noticed that a couple of Mr. DeLay's colleagues lately, Jeb Hensarling and John Carter in particular, have picked up on his, saying at his going away dinner in Fort Bend a while ago that, that the Democrats ought to be careful what they ask for, that DeLay could run this race and win. I think Carter even said he wouldn't have to campaign all that much. Any comment on that?
Well, again, it fits straight in with what I've been saying all along. I'm ready to run against whoever they put against me. I was when I decided to join this race a year plus ago. And I will try to position myself to know what is of concern to the people of the 22nd Congressional District, to show them that I was an effective member of Congress, that I will be available to them now, and that I'll be a great voice for them. And if I can convince enough people of that, it doesn't matter who they have on the ballot. I'll win, and I'll be a good representative for them.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add about NASA to wrap up?
Not that I can think of.
All right. Well, thank you very much, then. All right. Well,
thank you, Charles.
I'm ready to let you go to work. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak to me.
Thanks very much. My pleasure.